We're on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. At the end of the fourth line, Tashma, the Gemara, as you recall, had a suffek. What's the din if the Bala Chotzer accepts upon himself Shmira? Does that include not only that his Shar will not damage the Machnis, the one who goes in, the Nichnas, but also other Shvarim? He takes upon himself responsibility in general that covers all Nezikin to the Machnis, even Nezikin that come from someone else's Shar. Tashma, we learned in a Braisa, Hichnis Shoro Lechatzar Balabais Shelo Bershus. If a person brings his Shar without permission into the Chatzar Balabais, Ubo Shar Mimokom Acher Unigocho, a shor comes from outside and attacks the shor of the Machnis, and the shor of the Machnis now dies. Potur, that owner of the shor does not have to pay damages. Vihim Nichna, Vihim Hichnis Bershus. But if the Bala Chutz, the owner of the courtyard, gave permission for the Machnis to bring a shor in, Chayav. Now, the Braisa, as we mentioned, it's the same style as the previous Braisa on Amud Aleph, that there's a certain ambiguity here about who's potter, who doesn't have to pay liability, and who's Chayav. Man potter, man Chayav. Lav, shouldn't we assume potter balachotzer v'chayav balachotzer? It means that if Shimon Shor goes into Reuven's Rishus with Reuven's Chotzer without Rishus, Reuven has not accepted upon himself any Chiv Shmira, and he doesn't have to pay any compensation for the loss of Shimon's Shor. But in a case where Reuven, the Bala Chotzer, gave Rishus to Shimon to bring his Shor in, then Reuven picks up the liability, the damages. He took upon himself Shmira, and therefore we prove from this Braisa clearly that the Bala Chotzer, when he accepts upon himself Shmira, it's an overall all-inclusive responsibility that extends even as far as a damage to this Shor of the Machnis, even from other Shvarim. Lo, the Gemara says, that's not the intention of the Braisa. The subject of Potter V'chayev is not the Bala Chotzer, but rather Bala Shor. And this is going to be a fascinating analysis of whether or not we're talking about a Hezek of Keren Bershus HaNizak or a Hezek of Keren Bershus HaRabim. How do we define these different categories, which is especially relevant according to Rabbi Tarfa? So the Gemara says that if Shimon had rights, well, let's start with the Reisha. If Shimon had no permission to enter into the Chotzer, then the Baal Ashar, in other words, the owner of the Shar of Mazik, is Chayav. That sounds counterintuitive. But if the Baal Ashar, if Shimon had no permission to enter into the Rishus, the Chotzer of Reuven, then we'll call it Levi, who's the Baal Ashar of Mazik, is going to be Potter. But if, on the other hand, Reuven invited Shimon into his Chotzer, then if Levi Shar kills Shimon Shar, Levi has to pay damages. The Gemara asks the obvious kasha. Ihachi, if we're talking about the chiyuv or the p'tur of Levi, the Baal Ashar of Mazik, my bershus or my shalom bershus ika, what relevance is there to this distinction as to whether or not the owner of the chotzer, we call him Reuven, invited Shimon to bring his shor into the chotzer or did not invite him? We should go mimonafshach. Either there should be a chiv keren here, or there should not be a chiv keren. in Achiv Keren, we don't usually distinguish between Rishus HaRab and Chatzad Nizak. That distinction is relevant to Shein V'Regel. But with regard to Keren, Keren is Chayev, not only Rishus HaNizak, but also in Rishus HaRabim. So this whole distinction here between whether Shimon had permission or did not have permission to bring his shor, lahachnes his shoro, to the chotzer of Reuven should be irrelevant as far as this third party Levi is concerned. Amri, the Gemara says, hi, Mani, who's the author of this braisa? Rabbi Tarfon, he. What's Rabbi Tarfon's unique shita, which we learned back on Chav Dalid? The Omer Mishuna Keren, Bechotza Nizak, Nezek, Sholem, Mishalem. Keren, which is called Mishuna, because Keren is always an unusual behavior on the part of the animal, as opposed to Regel, is Bechotza Nizak, if the Shora Mazik enters into the chotzer of the Nizak and does damage to the Nizak in his chotzer, Rabbi Tarfon holds that even though he's a Shor Tam who pays Chatzin Nezek, in this case, Bechotzer Nizak, he pays Nezek Sholem. And now we have to ask the following question. What are we dealing with in our case, where the chotzer belongs to a different person, not to Shimon the Nizak, but rather to Reuven the Bala Chotzer? Is this considered a case of Keren Birshus HaNizak? It's certainly not Rishus HaRabim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Tarfon, he pays Nezek Sholem. Or is this considered a quasi Rishus HaRabim, insofar as it's not the chotzer HaNizak? Shimon the Nizak doesn't own the chotzer. That's what this braisa is addressing. If Shimon brings his machnes, his shor, into the courtyard of Reuven, Birshus, that's called Havile Keren B'chatzara Nizak Mishalim Nezek Sholem. In other words, the concept of Chotzer Nizak for Rabbi Tarfon is not dependent upon ownership of the Chotzer, but on rights to use the Chotzer. In other words, Schus Tashmish in the Chotzer gives that Machnis ownership rights in the Chotzer, and it sets up a Chotzer Nizak, which engenders a Chiv Nezek Sholem vis-a-vis Levi, the Baal HaShor HaMazik, but Shalo Birshus. If Shimon brought his Shor into the courtyard of Reuven without permission, Havile Keren Birshus HaRabim, that's not considered Chotzer Nizak. Why? Because the Nizak has no rights whatsoever. Mivanavshak, he doesn't own the Chotzer, he doesn't have rights to use the Chotzer. V'lo Mishalmel Chatzi Nezek, that's the case where even according to Rabbi Tarfon, the maximum that the Mazik could be Chayev on the first three occasions is Chatzi Nezek, like the classical Shorta. So when the Braisa says he was Machli Shalo Bershus, and therefore the third party, Levi, the Baal Shor HaMazik, is Potter, what it meant was that he's Potter from the special Chiyuv of Mishuna Bechotzer HaNizak, namely that Chiyuv of Nezek Sholim of Rabbi Tarfon. It goes back into the general pot of Shor Tam Chatzi Nezek. When on the other hand the Braisa says he, Shimon, has rights to take his Shor into the Chotzer of Reuven, that sets up a din of Chotzer HaNizak. And therefore, there's a chiyuv on the Baal HaShor on Levi to pay Nezek Sholem. Ahi Itisa, there's a woman, the Olsa Lemefa Behahu Besa, she entered in to the house of someone for the purpose of taking her dough and baking it in the oven. And of course, this all happens in the chutz of the Balabayas. And the Balabayas used to allow people to use his premises for baking. Asa barcha, a goat came by, a male goat. And Demari Debesa, of the owner of the premises, the owner of, we'll call it the baking oven, Achla Lelisha, and this goat ate the dough that this woman brought in. As a result, Chavil Umis, the goat dies. Here he says, Neschamem Gufa Eiz, Yosemi die. It heated up the body of the goat to such a temperature that it had to die. Chive Rava Lishlume Dmei Barcha. And Rava imposed liability and compensation on the woman who brought in the dough. And this for sure contradicts the famous sheet of Rav that we've been discussing many times. That's what the Gemara points out. Lema pliga de Rav. The Omer Rav, this is a Gemara we had on Mem Zayin in yesterday's Shia, that if a person brings his fruits into his friend's chatzer, in Rav's case it was shalo birshus, the animal of the Baal chatzer ate them. Nevertheless, even though he had no rights to enter into the field, into the courtyard of his friends with these fruits, nevertheless he's potter. And what's the logic of Rav? This is the famous principle of Rav. Havi leishlo tochal. The animal committed suicide, so to speak. It brought on itself this harm and damaged itself by eating something that it shouldn't have eaten. And here too, obviously, the goat should not have been eating this dough. And why is it that Rava says, nevertheless, she, the owner of the dough, is chayeves? Amri, the Gemara answers, there's no need to assume a contradiction between Rav and Rava. Hachi hashta. These two cases are not comparable. Hasam, in the case of Rav, where a person brings his fruits into the chatzer, into the courtyard of the nizak, shelo bershus, and he had no rights to enter. Lo kibel alei netirusa. He doesn't accept upon himself any responsibility to make sure that those fruits that he brings in should not damage the baal chatzer. And therefore, if the animal of the baal chatzer eats these fruits and dies, therefore he's potter. So in addition to the Havilei Shelo Tochal, we have to add another stipulation that there was no Kabolas Shmira on the part of the Baal HaPeiros. That's Rav. But Hacha here, in the story of Rava, with the woman who brings her dough in to bake in the oven, their Bershus, she had rights and permission to enter in. That's what the Baal HaBayis used to do. He was a very large, very magnanimous guy. He allowed people to come in and use his facilities, and therefore she had rights to bring whatever she brought in into the Rishus. Is Kabil Alei Nitirusa. She accepts upon herself the responsibility to make sure that nobody would be damaged by whatever she brings in. That's why Rava said, based on the assumption of Kabbalah Shmira, again, this would reflect the sheet of the Chachamim that we discussed yesterday, as opposed to Rebbe. Rebbe always requires an explicit Kabbalah Shmira. But in the case of the Rabbanan, within the framework of their Shita, it's Hachneis v'Kabbal Shmira. And therefore, Rava says she has to pay, the owner of the dough has to pay, for the death of the goat. And again, even though she didn't specify explicitly that she accepted upon herself Shmira, but nevertheless, she has what we call a tacit or an implicit Kabbalah Shmira. Now Rashi points out that we're going to soon see in the Hemshech HaSugya that this liability that Rava imposed upon the Balas HaIsa, that is conditional on the fact that the Bailim, the owner of the chutz, has to get out of there. And the reason for that is tznius, because when she bakes, she rolls up her sleeves, and therefore the premise is that he, the Baal HaChutz, the Baal HaBais, would not want to see her there, so she has to work in privacy. Then, and only then, does Rava insist that she had accepted upon herself Shmira in the absence of the Baal HaBais. However, back on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, in the sugi that we did yesterday, Rava's opinion is that even when a person is machnis birshus, nevertheless, it's the Baal HaChatzar who accepts Shmira, not the machnis. Here, we have an exceptional case where Rava says that the machnis was mekabel Shmira for, in this case, the animals of the Baal HaChatzar, and that's because of the unique nature of a woman and kneading the dough and baking it in the oven. If you take a look at Tosus, Divrei HaMaskil Hacha, which is on the top of Daf Mem Chesem and Aleph, you will see that even the Makshan understood that a woman is different than the general population in the case of Hichnis Birshus. But he understood, the Makshan, that the distinction is because the Bailim get out of the place where the Isha is for a different reason, because they don't want to be alone in a private place and violate the Isha Yichu with this woman. That's why the Braisa asked the question that even with regard to an Isha, the Bailim should accept upon themselves Shmira, because they have to provide Shmira. And that's based on the fact, on the premise, that principle that the owner of a chotzer, when he invites people in, he takes it upon himself shmira. But now, in the Gemara's answer, what we're saying is no. That she, knowing that she's alone in the bake shop, in the private bake shop, she takes upon herself a chiv shmira. That's why Rav was machayev. The Gemara now asks and spells out what we spoke about. Maishna, me, from the braisa that we learned earlier, Isha shenichnasa litchon chitim etzel Baal HaBayis, in the case of a mill, and she comes in to use the mill of the Baal HaBayis and grind her wheat. There it says in the braisa that shelo b'rishus, if she goes in without rishus, ve'achalosan behemto shel Baal HaBayis potur, the Baal HaBayis doesn't have to pay damages if his animal eats her chitim, since she had no right and no permission to enter into his rishus with her chitim. But v'imhuzka, if on the other hand the animal of the Baal HaBayis slipped on and fell due to these chitim, chayeves, she has to pay damages. And it's clear from the braisa, taima shelo b'rishus. The reason why she has to pay damages because she had no permission to enter into this chatzer. Right? That's the case of shelo b'rishus. Now, if she enters into shelo b'rishus, then the Baal HaChatzer does not accept upon himself any chiyuv shmira to watch his animal, to see to it that his animal will not damage her. Now, the chiyuv shmira shifts upon her. Habershus. The implication is that if she entered into the shus of Baal HaBayis with permission, then potter. She does not have to pay for any damages that were caused by her chitin to the animal of the Baal HaChatzer, because it's the Baal HaChatzer in the case of Rishus who accepts Chiyuv Shmira that his animals will not damage her chitin, but she doesn't accept a parallel Chiyuv Kabbalas Chiyuv Shmira to make sure that the animal of the Baal HaBayis, Baal HaChatzer, is not damaged. And here too, if we go back to the case of the bakery, then by logical analogy, based on this price that we're quoting now, in the case of Esau, she, if she had rishus, which she did, to enter into the private bake shop, and the A's, the goat over ate or should have eaten this dough, raw dough, and died, then certainly she should be potter. Because all the chiv shmira shifts onto the shoulders of the Baal HaChatzer. Amri, the Gemara answers, there's a difference between grinding wheat and baking a dough. Litchon chitin, kevon delo bayi tzniusa midi. To put the chitim into the mill, that doesn't require any sort of privacy, any sort of tznius, that the men should be running away, because she doesn't expose any part of her arm in doing so. Is therefore lo boy misalke mirvasa to chatzin afshayu, the Baal HaChatzer doesn't have to be mistalik, he doesn't have to run away from his chatzer. V'aleidi day rami netirusa. Then we apply the principle that since he, the Baal HaChatzer, invited this woman or any woman, right, to use the mill for grinding wheat, he accepts upon himself aleidi day on himself rami an obligation, responsibility of netirusa, of making sure that his animal will not damage her, and she bringing in a chitim birshus doesn't accept upon herself any sort of responsibility vis-a-vis his animals. Aval lemefa, but in the case of baking, kevan debaya heats neusa, and Rashi explains that when she bakes, she has to roll up her sleeves, otherwise I guess the dough goes all over the place, and in doing so, men who are careful about sneeze will run away. Is therefore mirvasa de chutz misalki lenafshayu. The Baal HaChatzer is going to be mistalik. He goes scrams from this baking situation when the woman is baking, and if he's not there, there's no way that he could be shomer, that he could be careful about the behemos. Hilkach. Therefore, Rava says the chiv shmir shifts from her, from him, the Baal HaChatzer, to her, the balas ha isa. The Baal HaSafia, the Allah Dida, Ramya Nitirusa. She now accepts upon herself Shmira, in this case, vis-a-vis the animals, the goat of the Baal HaChatzer, and therefore Rav Paskin, that she has to pay for the death of the goat. The Rashba in Chidushim has a very radical approach to this Gemara. He wants to say that even Rebbe, who disagrees with this concept of tacit Kabbalah Shmira, it's got to be explicit and enunciated. Here, in this case, even Rebbe would agree that it's not like the general case where the Nichnas does not accept Shmir unless we hear it from him. But in this case, where the Baal HaChatzer scrams, then the Nichnas accepts upon himself, or in this case herself, a Chiyuv Shmira responsibility, even though she didn't say it, she didn't speak it out. The Mishnah says, Hichnis Shoro, Lichatzar Balabayis. In the case where a person brings his shor into the courtyard of the Balabayis, and the shor of the Balabayis damages the shor of the Machnis, Potter. But Nogach Hu Shoro Shal Balabayis Chayav. If the shor of the Machnis gores and damages the shor of the Baal HaBayis, he pays damages for that. Omar Rava, Hichnis Shoro Lechatzar Baal HaBayis Shalo Bershus. What about the scenario in which the shor of Shimon came into Reuven's courtyard without permission, and now Chofar Ba Boros Sichin Moros, the shor itself of Shimon digs ditches. And there's a twofold discussion over here. Number one, he damages the courtyard itself, the karka itself, because you can't use it the way you used to use it. And there, Rava says, Baal Ashar Chai Benizkei Chotzer. The owner of the shor, in this case Shimon, has to pay for any damages that was suffered by the Baal HaChotzer to his Chotzer, to his karka, because he had no right to enter into that Rishus. Ubal Chotzer Chai Benizkei Abor. Well, now here's a strange phenomenon. Shimon's animal digs a bar in Reuven's Rishus, and he had no right to bring his animal. Shimon's animal had no right to be there. Yet, Rava says that the Baal HaChotzer becomes Chayav for bar. What's that all about? Now, obviously, we can't be talking about a simple case, because if someone owns a bar in his backyard, he's not Chayav if somebody comes in and falls into the bar. Obviously, the bar has to be Bershus. Haravan has to be accessible to everyone else. And here's where we quote Rashi and other Mefarshim that insist that in this particular scenario, the Baal HaChotzer was mafkir his Rishus. And once he makes the Rishus around the bar Hefker, he has an obligation to watch the bar. Even though, again, it wasn't he who dug the bar, but the act of Hefker now gives him, so to speak, bailus over the bar b'toras mazik, such that somebody's shor or chamor is damaged in this bar or dies in this bar, the Baal HaChotzer now has to pay for nizke bar. Afal gav di omar mar, even though we have a drasha on daf nun aleph, we didn't get to this yet, based on a pasuk of ki yichre ish bar, the pasuk says v'lo yichasen v'nafal shom ashar o bo o chamor bala bar yishalim kesef yoshev lebailov. That's only ish. It says kiyichre ish bar. The bar was dug by a human being to the exclusion of v'lo shor bar, but not if a shor created a bar. I'm not responsible for the bar created by my shor, and therefore here also Rava should admit that there's no chiyuv on the Baal HaChotzer for the bar that was dug by Shimon's shor. Hach, but here it's different. Kevan de islay lahaych lemiluye velo kol malye kiman de kariyadami. Once the Baal HaChotzer is stuck with this bar, he now has a responsibility, if he wants to be mafkir the area around the bar, to be so same the bar. To lemaluye means to fill it in. And if he doesn't do so, it's commanded to carry it down. It's as if he himself personally dug the bar. Notice that Rava's ruling was formulated in a case of shelo b'shus, meaning Shimon had no rights and no permission to bring his shor into the chutz of Reuven, and his shor dug a bar. Why is that added here by Rava? And the answer seems to be that Rava wants to tell me a chiddush over here. That you would have said, why should the owner of the chotzer, in this case Reuven, be liable or responsible for a bar that was created by someone else's shor, when that someone else usurped the rights and had no legal rights to enter into that and bring his shor into that chotzer? And perhaps this would square with Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that in a case of Hichnis Shelo Bershus, the Baal HaChotzer did not accept upon himself Shmira. And that's true even according to the Chachamim of Rebbe. Obviously, the discussion about whether or not the Baal HaChotzer is responsible for the Shor of Shimon that entered in Shelo Bershus, or if any entered in Bershus, is irrelevant here. Again, Chachamim would say that if the Baal HaChotzer invited the Baal HaShor to bring his Shor in, then the Baal HaChotzer accepts responsibility. That's tacit Kabbalah Shmira. Rebbe says even in that case, there's no tacit Kabbalah Shmira. But this case of Rava with regard to the shor that digs a bar has nothing whatsoever to do with that machlokas. And that's what Rava wants to emphasize here in his ruling by saying that even though there was no Rishus, which would mean that even the Chachamim would say that the Baal HaChatz has no responsibility vis-a-vis the Shar, nevertheless he becomes responsible for this bar. And that's going to work out even according to Revi. And the responsibility for the bar is because when he decides to be mafkir, his Rishus around the bar, he becomes responsible for that bar as if he himself had dug the bar. The Meiri makes a comment here which I don't understand. The Meiri says that the case is that there already was a bar in that chotzer. It was closed. Let's say there was a covering over it. And when Shimon's illegally brought his shar into the Rishus of the chotzer, the shar knocked or pushed off the covering. I don't know why the Meiri is compelled to add that or to explain that way. Now, if the hezek is in the karka, it doesn't have to be necessarily that the shar dug a bar in the karka. From the perspective of hezek lekarka, there could be many different scenarios in which the shar of Shimon damaged the karka of Reuven. He had no rishus to bring his shar in there. But in any event, even with regard to the hezek to the karka, the Gemara Rava mentions the bar that was dug by the shar. But what's more important for us is that the responsibility for this bar now shifts over to the Baal HaChatzer if the Baal HaChatzer decides to be mafkir the rishus around the bar. Now, this din that a person is chayav, meaning Shimon is chayav for the nezikin vis-a-vis the nezik vis-a-vis the karka of Reuven lechora, that's a simple pshita kind of halacha. I'm not sure why Rava felt compelled to formulate halacha. Maybe perhaps there was a tzad to say that Shimon, the owner of the shar, if he damages the bar, the karka of the Baal HaChatzer should be potur, because the Baal HaShar never entertained in his mind that such a thing would happen. It wasn't olal daito, it's a dover shein of motzi klal, that a shar would dig a bar. And therefore maybe the Baal HaShar doesn't have a responsibility that extends to that level and he becomes an onus. That's what Rava wants to tell you. No. The Mechayavir is bringing the shar into the Rishus of Reuven when Shiva does so, without Rishus. That itself sets up the Mechayev. Now, one other point that Rashi goes out of his way to make here is that if Reuven is mafkir, not only his chotzer around the bar, but even if he was mafkir the bar itself, he's still chayev. Again, that depends on the machlokas about bar b'shus harabim. And Rashi back on Daf Chaf Ches, if you turn the Masech back 10 blot earlier, he says that if a person is mafkir both his Rishus and his Bar, he still is chayev on any takola in Rishus HaRavim. Because the very moment that he's mafkir everything, he's creating a takola of Rishus HaRavim. And therefore the chiyuv is not because at the moment of the hezek here, it was his bar, but rather he created a takola in Rishus HaRabim. That's the Mechayev. Vi Amar Rava. Now Rava adds another din. Hichnis Shoro L'chotzer B'alabai Shalom B'Rishus. He brought his shor, the Machnis brought his shor into the courtyard of the Baal HaChotzer without permission. V'hizik es B'alabayis. The shor was mazik, the balabais, o balabais huzak bo, or let's say the balabais tripped over whatever happened over here. There was a shor that came into his rishus, chayev. But ravatz potter. If the animal lies down on the floor of the rishus of the chotzer, the balabais, then he's potter. Then the Baal HaShor is potter. Now, what would that mean? If we're talking about a case where the weight of the animal as it lies down on the ground crushes utensils, crushes kalim, that's a little bit strange. Why would Rava say you're potter for such a thing? That certainly comes under the chiyuv shmira of Shimon when he brings his shor into the rishus of Reuven. More logically, it's a case where the shor lies down, and while it's lying down, the Baal HaChatzer trips over the shor that's lying on his ground. And that would be kind of a bar b'rishus hanizak. And perhaps we can come up with some explanation as to why Rava says, in this case, potter. Ravatz is potter. So the Gemara asks the following question. Umishum de Ravatz, potter. Does that make any sense? That if Rava's intention was that the Ravatz shar, and as a result there is a hezek, the shor lies down on the ground of the chatzah nizak, why would the Baal HaShor be potter for such damages? Omar Rav Papa, no. My Ravatz, what's the exact scenario that Rava ruled that the Ravatz is potter? Shehirbitz glolim. That the shor was matil glolim. And what that means is that the shor leaves dung on the ground, it drops from the body of the shor. Nitanfu kalev shel baal habayis. And as a result of this dung, the begadim of the baal habayis become soiled. They become filthy. So why is the baal hashor potter in this case? Says the Gemara, Davi glolim bar. If the damage was to the begadim, we know that bar is potter from kalim. Bar is only chayv for shor or chamor, but not for other the kalim. And therefore, since the glolim that came from this shor have the status of a bar, and with regard to bar, we say chamor velo kalim. So when the kalim of gadim of the Baal HaChatzer were made filthy, were dirtied and soiled, there's no chiv of the Baal Habar, in this case the Shor Ravatz, to pay damages. Now, as far as the Ptur of Adam, which is also derived from the same pasuk, it says Shor Achamar Shor Velo Adam, that's only Misas Adam. So if the Baal HaChatzer damaged himself, you know, Chas Sholem, he tripped on these glolim and he broke a leg, then Enochinami, there's no question that Rava would have to agree that the Baal HaShor would pay damages for the hezek of Adam. Therefore, we're talking about a case here where the begadim were damaged, and that's Kalim. And by the way, the Baal HaShor, even if he was mafkir, his glolim, nevertheless, once the shor let down these glolim, dropped the glolim, whatever word you want to use, then he, the Baal HaShor, becomes chayev to be mesalik these glolim. He's got to be mesalik his hezek. And we saw this already before, that even when a person makes something hefker, it's like he dug a bar with his bare hands, and he becomes responsible to get rid of that bar and to protect it and cover it. And the same thing here, that if Bishas Nefilas HaGlolim, the Glolim were owned by the Baal HaShor, now he becomes responsible to get rid of these Glolim, and no way, no how he's going to be able to be mafkir the Glolim and say, well, they're not mine, and they're from Potter. Because at the time of the Nefilas HaGlolim, he was responsible. And he has to be mesalik. And hefker is not called siluk habar. If, however, my shor would dig a bar in Rishus HaRabim, that's something totally different, because there it was never my bar to begin with. But here, the glolim belonged to the Baal HaShor. And the only way we could justify Rava saying potter in the case of Rovates is Rovitz Glolim, meaning Hirbitz Glol, is only if the Baal HaChatzar was damaged in Kalim. And that's a tour of Bar regarding vis-a-vis Kalim. The Gemara asks the following question. Hinicha l'Shmuel. This all fits in very well according to the Sheet of Shmuel back on Daf Chav Ches 10 blad ago. Shekol takola barhu el rav di omar ad mafkir le my ikol meimar. There's a fundamental machlokus between Shmuel and Rav regarding bar. We discussed this at great length. And that is that according to Shmuel, bar means a bar that he wasn't mafkir. That becomes a bar. And the Baal HaTakola is chayav mishum bar because of his bailus. And let's assume that since these glolim belong to the Baal HaShar, he wasn't mafkir them. And if he wasn't mafkir them, that's bar according to Shmuel, and he's potter on kalim. But Rav holds that a takola b'shus harabim is only chayav in bar if he was mafkir it. And if he wasn't mafkir it, then you could be mechayev him midin shor, but not midin bar. And therefore, if he's chayev mishum shor, there's no reason to apply the principle of chamor velo kalim, the tour of kalim in bar. Here it's not a bar, it's shor. And a shor is chayev even for kalim. And the Gemara now assumes that since the glolim belong to the Baal HaShar, it's not bar according to Rav. Is Ma'ikol Meimar? Amri, the Gemara answers, Tam glolim afkure mafkalu. We have a reason to assume that the Baal HaShar immediately is mafkir is glolim. And once he's mafkir them, even Rav would agree that he's chayav mishum bar. It's no longer mamono or shoro shehizik, it's now bar. And therefore it'll be potter on kalim. If on the other hand, the Baal HaChatzar himself is damaged, he's injured, because he trips over these glolim, then the Baal HaShar is chayav, as we said before, because with regard to injuries of a human being, a bar pays damages. Now it's fascinating to think about who owns these glolim. On the one hand, the Baal HaChatzar never wants to be zochah in these glolim. He doesn't want ownership. On the other hand, the Baal HaShar, maybe he also is not interested in collecting these glolim, but on the other hand, he wasn't mafkir the glolim. We didn't hear some sort of explicit declaration, a proclamation that he wants to be mafkir his glolim. And the Rambam holds that you need hefker bepeh. That's the famous Shittas of Rambam. So, you know, we have to understand why these glolim are hefker. And perhaps the Rambam would agree that in the case of glolim, since the glolim have no objective market value, there's an umta to the muchach, we have every right to assume that the bailam are mafkir them. And you don't need hefkir bepeh. This is what we call dvarim shebelibo shel adam b'lev kol adam. It becomes like an objective lev. In any event, what I wanted to point out to you now was the Tosis divar maskil v'tinfu. Tosis understands Rashi as saying that according to the maskana of this sugya, in a case of stam glolim, the bailam of mafkir. So the p'tur here is not because the Baal HaShar was mafkir, but because stam glolim are hefker. And that's especially true according to the Rambam that we discussed earlier. So then in that sense, the p'tur of the Baal HaShar, which is on the kalim of the Baal HaChatzar, that's only on the kalim. But if the Baal HaChatzar himself was damaged, the Baal HaShar is chayav. And then Tosis quotes the Ri, who says that maskanas hasugya, surely when Mar thought that the Baal, in the Avami, that the Baal HaShar was not mafkir, is glolim, and that would be a chiyuv of bar, according to Shmuel at least, there's no p'tur from bar if a human being was damaged, was injured, only if his kalim were damaged. But in the maskanas hasugya that the Gemara assumes that the bailim, the owner of the shor, was mafkir the glolim, that's a din of mafkir nizokov liachar nefilas ones. And if a person is not responsible for the nefila, in this case the takola, from the get-go, then There's no chiyuv even for the nezakim of the balachotzer. Why? Because after nefilas ones, he's part of midin bar in Ganson completely. That's what the Ri claims over here. So he's disagreeing with Rashi's chilik, as Tosus embellishes it, between Nizke Habgadim, if the Balachotz was damaged in terms of his Begadim, Kalim, as opposed to Nizke Hagavra, if the Adam was Huzak. That distinction is not accepted by the Ri, because the Ri holds that Lamaskonis HaSugya, that we're talking about a case of Hefker, and if you define this and classify it as Mafkin is Zachalak and Filus Ones, that's Mafkia the Shem Bar. And therefore, even as far as the Balach Chatzar is concerned, there is no chiyuv. Tosus, on the other hand, accepts Rashi's understanding of the sugi. He's not excited, and he's not inclined to accept the Ri's understanding. The Amar Rava. Now we have a new statement of Rava. And again, we're talking about the laws of a shor of Shimon that goes into the Chatzar of Reuven. V'yomar Rava, nichnas l'chatzar balabayis shaloberschus v'hizik es balabayis. So now we're talking about a case where a person entered into the reshus of the balabayis without permission, and he was mazik the balabayis without any intention to do so, inadvertently, unintentionally. O balabayis huzak bo. So wait a second. First we have hizik es balabayis. That would be a situation where the machnis, or the, I should call it the nichnas here, because machnis is where he brought in peros, where he brought in ashar. Here he's nichnas, meaning he himself went in. So any damages that he inflicts on the balabayis, he's chaya for. And number one, if he did it directly, number, that's called the adayim. And number two, if the balabais was huzak bo, here's a case where a person enters into the reshus of the balachotz without permission. He stands wherever he is, and the balabais just bumps into him and gets damaged and gets injured. So therefore, in these cases, chayev. The person who entered into the reshus is chayev, and the chiddush here that he's chayev, whether or not the balabayis damaged his own body, or he damaged the kalim, his kalim. Now, why would he be chayev for kalim? After all, we said chamor velo kalim. There's a big chiddush here, that if a person is lying on the ground, his body becomes a bar. But if a person is standing on his feet and someone else trips into him, that's not called bar. That's called adam mazik. It's as if he was mazik him directly with his hands. Now he's ziko balabayis. If, let's say, the balabayis was mazik the person who entered into his chotzer, part of the balabayis doesn't have to pay. The balabais doesn't have to be careful that he shouldn't be mazik someone who enters into his reshus without permission. And even though adam mu'ud li'olam, this is considered ones, because he's not thinking about someone who goes into his reshus without permission. And Tosus back on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis disagrees with the Ramban, and he holds that Mazik Bones is Potur. The Ramban seems to assume that Adam Mu'ud Li'olam even Be'ones. So what are we going to do with this Halach of Rava that's Potur? You're going to have to say that this shifts the Pshia over to the shoulders of the Nichnas. When does the Ramban assume that a person is chayef ones? When there's no blame that can be shifted on the nizak? But here, there's a blame that has to be shifted onto the shoulders of the nizak. Or of Papa Lo Amoran, when does Rava say that the balabayis is exempt from any damages that he inflicts on this person who came in shalom b'shus elo delo havi yodabe? The balabayis had no clue that somebody entered into his chotzer, and therefore he couldn't protect himself and be shomer and nizhar from being a mazik. Aval, but in the case of haviyada bay, which means that the owner of the chotzer is aware of the presence of the nichnas, even though he had no rishus to go in there, he's what you call a squatter or a trespasser. He's ziko balabayis chayov. In such a case of balabayis chayov, my time is from the omer lay, because the nichnas has a right to say the balabayis nehida islach rishus alafuke. As the owner of this courtyard, you can get rid of me, but you don't have rights to hit me over the head and kick me out. Lazukile leslacha reshusa. You have no permission to damage me. So again, everything, says Rav Papa, hinges on whether or not the Bala Chotzer is aware of the entry of the Nichnas. In a general sense, we would say that the Bala Chotzer is not chayav to take into consideration that someone entered into his rishus without permission, and he could act in his backyard the way he normally acts. He doesn't have to be particularly careful. But lo yitzur, but in a case where he knows that someone is lurking around in his backyard, then he's chayav in shmira. He has to make sure that he doesn't damage him, even though, again, he can evict him from his rishus, but he cannot damage him. Now, I wanted to add something here from the Yalkut HaBi'urim, in the name of the Toras Chaim. He says that she Dibra Maskel V'Hizik, that's four lines up from the bottom of the page, says, Bein Miskaven, Bein She'ena Miskaven. It sounds like Rashi's talking about miskaven, where he deliberately had intention to be mazik him. And that's not true, because even if he was mazik him shelo b'kavona, nevertheless, if he was aware of his presence, then he should have been careful, and whatever he does and however he behaves in his backyard, make sure that he's not mazik that person who's lurking, even though he's trespassing in his backyard. So we're not talking, says the Toras Chaim, about a hezek bekavana. Rashi calls it bekavana only because he was not careful. That makes him like a miskaven. The Gemara continues and says, the azdu litamayhu, that Rava and Rav Papa, that's the plural here of litamayhu, they made a distinction between case A and case B. Case A is where the nichnas damaged the balabayis and he has to pay, even though he wasn't intentional about that hezek. Case B is where the balabayis, the balachotzer, was masik the nichnas, and he's potur because it's like he's ziko shelo b'kavona. And that's a case where he's not aware of the trespasser lurking in his distance. This is all lishi tosam. This is all based on previous rulings of Rava and Rav Papa. The Omar Rava vitem Rav Papa. And here we turn to Memches Amid Beis. We're talking about two people who are walking in one place. Shneem Birshus. Let's say, for example, in a public domain, everybody has permission to walk there. Osha Yushneim Shutfi Bechotzer, they were partners in a chotzer. Each one has rights to use the chotzer, or one of the Bala chotzer gave Rishus to the other one to enter in. Oh, Shneim Shalo Birshus. Let's say, for example, they were running through Rishus Arabim in a place where people walk. They have no rights and permission to run there. Or, for example, they entered into the chotzer of the Baal Bayis Shelo Birshus. In all these cases, he's ziku, if there was a direct hezek, zed, one damaged the other, chayovin, they have to pay damages. Even though the hezek was shelo b'kavana, And that's based on the principle that we always come back to on Daf Chavav Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. So therefore, if a person enters in Birshus, then he has to be choshish, has to be worried, and consider the possibility that just like the Baal HaChatzar gave him Rishus, he gave Rishus to other people to enter into his Chatzar. And therefore he has to be very careful to make sure that he's not mazik anyone. And if he goes in Shalom Rishus, he has to also take into consideration that just like he entered into this Chatzar without Rishus, some other person may have entered in Shalom Rishus. And therefore, Keshe Ziko Chayovin, the words of Rava, Rav Chisdov, he ziku zetze, means be a dying, means actively. And then they have to pay nezek, because once this Maisa Hezek was committed be a dying in an active way, the mazik is chayav. He takes upon himself liability, whether or not it was accidental, whether it was intentional, because as far as Adam HaMazik is concerned, Adam Mu'ad Li'olam. That's the case of Hiziku Zetzeh. Okay, so he's chayv even shalom bekavona. Then we have the Seifa. Huzku Zebozeh. Here we're not talking about an active hezek without intention, but rather an inactive hezek. And what does that mean? There was no action done. Let's say one person tripped on the other. That's called niskal. In such a case, if niskal, pturim, then there's no chiv to pay damages. Again, we have to assume that the mazik here was not a posheya in the nezik of his friend. Because the nizak was lacking, you know, he was deficient in his care. And he has a chiv to be careful. And the niskal is going to take upon himself the damages, so to speak. But the person himself, who, you know, he was the stumbling block, he is potter. Gemara's medayik. Taima, the reason why they're both equal, and if they're both potter in the case of an inactive damage of nitkal, is the shneim Rishus or Shneim Shalom Rishus. They're all on equal ground. Either they both had permission to be there, like in the Rishus Rabim case, or neither of them had Rishus to be there if they're both trespassers. And that's the reason why Shneim Pturim. Aval Echad Rishus V'Echad Shalom Rishus. What about the case where one person had Rishus to go there? Let's say he was walking in a normal sort of way in Rishus Rabim, just minding his own business, or the Baal HaChatzar gave him Rishus to enter into his Chatzar, but the other one, Shalom Rishus, he was running in Rishus Rabim, that he has no permission to do, or he entered into the Chatzar of the Baal Bayis without Rishus, is in this case, we have to make the following distinction. Dibur Rishus, the person who has a right to be their potter, he doesn't have to pay damages. And here it doesn't matter whether or not the hezek that he caused was memela, was inactive, or the hezek was biyadayim, as long as it was shaloba kavana, because he doesn't have to assume or anticipate that someone who has no permission to do that or to be there would be there. But shalobershus chayav, that individual who was acting in a way that he shouldn't be acting, he had no permission to do that, he has to pay the tashlumei nezek. He should have been very careful not to be mazik someone because that other person might have rishus to be there. And that chiyuv of nezikin in the case of echad shelo rishus applies even if he was mazik shelo biyadayim, even in an inactive kind of hezek. And this is the same as what we saw in Rava and Rav Papa before, back on Memches Amid Aleph, about the case of the Nichnas L'Chotzer Shalom Bershus, that he's chayav on any nezikin that he imposes on the Baal HaBayis, and the Baal HaBayis is potter for any nezikin that he causes to the Nichnas Shalom Bershus, and that applies even in a case of Hezek Biyadayim. The Mishnah says, Nafal Leboro Vehivish Memov Chayov. If the animal falls into a bar, and as a result it makes the water in the bar something that's filthy, Amar Rava, when is he Chayov? Lo Shanu, that only applies Elo Shehivish B'Shas Nefila. Let's say the shor is filthy, and by falling into the bar, the waters became fouled. O shehecher samayim berefes v'tit im nefiloso. There are all sorts of kinds of stones or filth of different sorts that are attached to its body. And in such a case, the chiyuv for the baal shor is not b'toras bar, but rather it's as if the shor was mazik begufo. And in this context, Rav is also making a similar chiluk to what we discussed before about active damaging and non-active damaging. If the shor is acting in a very active way to create this hezek, and he contaminates the water is called kalim, that's a chiyuv of shor. If, on the other hand, aval liachar nefila, if it's not that the shor was actively damaging because it didn't dirty up the water when it was falling in, but liachar nefila, in other words, the animal remained bishahia, as we would say, delaying its exit from the bar, and as a result, the waters of the bar were contaminated, potter. Why? My taima havishar bar umayim kalim. The status of mayim is the same as that of kalim. And since the shar was not doing an active b'maisa hezek, but rather in a passive sort of way, that's called bar, and bar is potter for kalim. Lo matzinu bar shechayev bo es hakalim. Now the Evan HaOzel of Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer explains that any filth on the body of the shor is considered part of its body. It doesn't have to be mechubar in such a way that it was tied down by the bailam onto the shor. And there's a sefer called Dvar Moshe, and he has a long discussion if it's because this filth or the cement is considered part of the gufo shel shor, perhaps even with shehiya there should be a chiyuv shor. If on the other hand we assume that the cement or the dirt that's attached to the body of the shor is not considered gufo shel shor, therefore we can understand that liachar nefila the chiyuv is mishum bar and not mishum shor. And that's what the Gemara says here, that mayim is considered like kalim, and therefore liachar nefila, there's no chiyuv on the part of the baal habar, because bar is potter from kalim. Tosus back on Daf Yudom and Aleph says that anything that's not bali chayim, it's not alive, is considered kalim, and therefore tvua, for example, is the bar is potter for tvua because it's not an alive animate object, and therefore it's kalim. Whereas Rashi is of the opinion that tvua in a bar, the balabar is chayev. That's not called kalim. Rashi requires a positive chalushem kli. Now the Gemara asks the following question: Ha nicha l'Shmuel diomar kol takola barhu? According to Shmuel, who says that even if you aren't mafkir your takola and you retain ownership, it's still considered bar. And now we understand Rava very well, because here the shor is considered a bar, even though he owns the bar. El le Rav diomar ad mafkele Rav identifies bar as hefker, and the paradigm of bar is a bar b'shus Rav where he has no ownership over the bar. Is ma'ikel memory? How do we understand Rava? since the Baal HaShor was not Mafkir Shor, certainly not. Therefore, the Shor, according to Rav, is not Chayav B'Torah's Bar, but B'Torah's Shor, and therefore he should be Chayav even on Mayim, even on Kalim. And now the Gemara wants to bring a reformulation of the statement of Rava. This is what Rava said. Omar Rava, lo shana. When did the Mishnah say that with the nefil of the shor that contaminates the water, he's chayev, the Baal HaShor is chayev for damaging the mayim, elo shehivish migufo, aval hivish mirecho potur. There are two ways in which the shor might contaminate the mayim in the bar. One is called hivish migufo, right? The shor's body is completely covered or dirty with different kinds of cement and rocks and filth. And when it falls into the bar, the water immediately becomes filthy and contaminated. But then there's a case of hivish mirecho. The shor actually died due to the fall into the bar. And the carcass of the shor has a smell to it. And that's what contaminates the water. You can't drink this water because of the smell of the dead carcass. So when are you chayev for hivish memov, says Rava? That's only in a case where it's hivish migufo, but hivish mirecho is part of my timer. The reason for that is grama bi'alma, who this is not considered a direct hezek, who grama bi'alma lo machayev. And Grumman and Ezekiel is Potur. So in the reformulation of Rava, we're talking about a situation in which the waters were fouled by the body of the Shor, and that is considered not Grumma, but rather from Mazik. And again, the contamination of the water was immediate with the Nefilas HaShor. If it was later on, because the Shor lingered around, then according to Shmuel, that would be considered Bar, because he wasn't Mafkir his Shor, and he's not Chayv on Mayim. But that has nothing to do with Grom and Ezekiel. That's the Ptur of Bar and Kalim. Here, the case in which Rava says you be Potter, even according to the Mishnah, that's a case of Hivish Mirecho. This is what we call a grum and a zikin, because it's the bad smell, the odor of the carcass after dying of the nevel itself. That's what damages the water, and that's called grumma bin a zikin. Don't have discussed a number of different issues here. For example, the Ramban wants to point out that l'chora this should be the case of hivish mirecho should be hezek shenu nikar, like the case of yayin shehichmitz. And Tosas Rid is bothered by this sugya, because if the smell, the stench of this nevela was not immediate b'shas nefila, but it was later on, then you're going to have to say that the bailim are chayav here for a different reason, because they didn't remove the bar. And then you get into the question of whether it's still a bar, because he wasn't mafkir the nevela, and that would make sense according to Shmuel, and therefore he's potter according to Rav, because it's kalim. There's a third discussion here about the rif. The rif doesn't bring Rav's distinction la'alocha between hivish migufo or hivish mirecho, and the Rebbe Yosef wants to suggest the possibility that even in hivish mirecho, it's not called grama, but the Rif would rather paskin that this is called Garmi, and therefore, even if Laman the Lo Doin, you know, Garama, but Doin Dina the Garmi, the Ra'ah is upset by this, Nemuki Yosef, because there's no Chiv Garmi here, unless the person was Mazik himself. But if the Behema was Mazik through Garmi, there's no source for a Chiv on Behema of Mamana Mazik in Garmi. Garmi is Adama Mazik, like Asori Shtaros of Shalchavero. Let's go on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hayu, Hoya Aviv Obno Lesocha Mishal Misak Kofer. If the Shor, through its fall, kills a person, then the Baal HaShor has to pay Kofer. So the Gemara asks, Vamai Hatamhu, aren't we discussing the case of a shor tam, and in the shor tam there's no chiyuv kofer. Amar Rav b'muad lipol al bnei adam b'boros askin. On the Mishnah is talking about a case of an animal that has a track record of falling into boros and killing people, and if it did so three times, it's chayev on the fourth time kofer. So the Gemara asks, "Hachi, if this be the case, that the shor b'kavana throws itself onto people in the bar, how did she get to the third time? Bark tolahu, then the shor itself should have been stoned, and already on the first time that the shor threw itself down into the bar to kill a person, its din would be that of skila, even though a shor tam is not chai for kofer, but he's chai for skila. How did this shor become a muad?" And the Gemara answers, "Amar Rav Yosef, we're not talking about a case that the shor was muad lahapil esatzmo, to intentionally throw itself onto human beings to kill them, but rather the chaza yirok of an afal, the shor sees grass on the outside lip of the bar, the shor is tempted to eat that grass, and it gets too close to the bar, and therefore it falls on a human being. Therefore it's not a niskal, because it didn't kill bekavana, but nevertheless if it does this on three consecutive occasions, now it becomes a muad for this Yerok of an offal. And therefore the Bailim, in the case where the shor fell in the fourth time while it was eating the grass and killed a person, they have to pay kofar, even though the shor would be potter from Misa, because the shor really is kind of like, if you call it Shein or Regel would pay kofar, even though the shor is not killed. Now the difficulty here is that Rav himself, back on Daf Mem Dalid, was of the opinion that kofar depends upon the Mises HaShar. That only when the shor is chayv misa for killing a person, only then does the owner of the shor pay kofar. He seems to be contradicting himself here, because on all other occasions the animal didn't kill intentionally, and therefore it was potter from misa, and yet here he's insisting that there's a chiyuv kofar. In order to reconcile this apparent contradiction in Rav, we're going to have to say that although Rav in Mem Dalid is discussing a chiyuv of keren, which means that the animal gored and killed people intentionally on three different occasions, and really the animal was chayv misa, but the animal simply escaped and they weren't able to pull it to death. Once it was muad for hariga, then Rav is of the opinion that on the fourth negicha, which was unintentional, and therefore for the fourth negicha the animal would not be chayv misa. It might be chayv misa for the first three, but not for the fourth. Therefore, the Bailam are potter from kofar. When the ox becomes a muad lahariga, which it did bekavana, which carries, of course, the chiv misas ashar, the chiv skila, there won't be any chiv kofar, according to Rav, for subsequent harigos, which are bli kavana. Again, even though the shor is definitely muad, but that's only with respect to one particular action. And that's where Rav says that the Bailam are potter from kofar. Here in our case, we're not dealing with the chiyuv keren at all. The animal cannot become muad as a keren without kavana, because the basic definition of keren is kavanos lahazik. What happened here? The animal was trying to eat the grass around the sides, the lip of the bar, and it fell into the bar. That's already shein, because what happened here is the animal was motivated by achila. And there's a din that whenever the animal kills through shein, the owner pays kofar. And that has nothing to do with the death of the animal. The animal is not put to death if it was kavanoso lecho lahanoa, which is shein v'regel, and yet there's a chiv kofar in the case of shein v'regel when the animal kills. That's the sugya on daf chavav amid beis. So when the animal kills a person through regel, then the premise is that the owner of the animal must pay kofar. The animal itself is not chayev misa, didn't have kavonoso larog, and therefore what happens here is that the misa of the animal is mufka from skila, and in such a case the Torah says that the baal hashor is chayev kofer, even though the animal is completely exempt from any chayev skila. That's the case of Shein. But in the case of Karen, where the animal is not mufka from skila, the animal really is subject to death, that's when the Torah has a mute to exclude kofer if this maisa was a maisa where the shor is not chayev misa. Of course, you could argue that this kind of a falling into the bar on the part of the shor is not shein, it's not urche, it's something that's mishuna. But the answer is, even though it's an atypical kind of behavior pattern, but nevertheless, if the animal falls into the bar three times, that becomes typical, and what motivates the animal is hana, is achila, that's called shein. Shmuel wants to offer another alternative explanation of the Mishnah. Enochinami, the Mishnah is not talking about Shein with that wild case of falling into the bar while it's eating the grass, but rather we're talking about Shartam. Now, if we're talking about Shartam, how could there be a Chi of Kofar? Hamani, the author of our Mishnah, is Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, Ti Omar Tam Mishalem Chatzi Kofar. Just like Tam is, in the case of damages, pays chatzin ezek, so to Tom, in the case of killing a person, the bailim incur a chiyuv of chatzi kofer. To Shmuel, the animal killed a person, it's a Tom, but nevertheless there's a chiyuv kofer, but the chiyuv kofer here, according to Yosef Glili, is only chatzi kofer. Now we have a third explanation for the Mishnah, and that's Ula. Ula Omar, Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, the author of our Mishnah, is Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi that the Tam pays Chatzi Kofer. Nevertheless, what the Mishnah has in mind here is Kofer Sholem. Why? The Omar Ki Rabbi Tarfon. The author of our Mishnah accepts the Shita Rabbi Tarfon. The Omar back on Chavdalen Amid Beis. Keren Bechatzara Nizak Nezek Sholem Mishalem. If the animal damages in the chotzer nizak, even though it's still a tam, it pays nezek shalem. And the mirror image is hachinami here. If the animal, instead of damaging bechotzer nizak, kills bechotzer nizak, kofer shalem shalem. So the Gemara asks the following question: Bishlema liula haynu diktani haya aviv obno lisocho. According to Shmuel, we don't understand why the Mishnah has to mention the case of Aviv and Bno. Ula makes a lot of sense, because according to Ula, the emphasis here is on Chatzar HaNizak. And in order to convey that message, the Mishnah formulates the case as one where the death occurred to Aviv O Bno. They were in the Chatzar, the Baal, of the Baal HaChatzar, whether it be their son or their father. And therefore they had reshus to be there. That's called Chatzar Nizak, and you pay Kofar Sholem. El Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi of Chatzi Kofar, in a case of a Tam, my iria oviv obno afilu acher nami. There doesn't seem to be any justification why the Mishnah was compelled to formulate the case as oviv obno. Anyone who was killed, he would have to pay chatzi kofer. That's a universal rule, that if the shor kills someone, then the bailim has to pay, the baal shor has to pay chatzi kofer. And the Gemara answers, orche de milsa ketoni, enochinami. There was no real reason why the Mishnah had to mention, had to formulate this as a case of aviv obno specifically. But nevertheless, this is a more common kind of a situation. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.